Welcome to the Better Call Connie podcast. I'm your host and psychic from the block, serving you hot chisme and the bitch slap you've been waiting on. Here you're gonna laugh, learn, transform, and get your life together. All right, so here we go.
All right, we're back. Today is full moon in Aquarius, super moon. I feel like I had to say that because I'm telling you, Leo or not Leo, we are acting out in these streets. I am telling you. Okay, so we are talking about my wake-up call. This is completely like just raw, unfiltered. I didn't even fucking write notes. I'm just gonna, whatever is coming to heart, to mind, I feel like that's the message that needs to come through. And I think that it's gonna serve a lot of people because I feel like this is a conversation that happens a lot. This is a very relatable to those who have been working in the field that they've been working in for a long time. And it also goes to identity as well. So we're gonna get into it. I was very young when I realized that I was a psychic. And I grew up in a very ultra-religious household. It was split up into two different religions, my mother being Jehovah's Witness, devout Jehovah's Witness, and my father, who had generations of Seventh-day Adventists. And by no means is this a plug or anything like that. I'm just going to tell you what my beginnings came from, like the context of how this all went down. So when I was growing up, I knew I was different, not just because of like the school stuff and what I dealt with. I mean, that was a really big part of my upbringing. I was not a very popular kid in school. I was a very different kid. And I knew, not just from the psychic thing, but I feel like a lot of my sensitivity growing up was definitely used against me. Because when you grow up as a psychic, you feel things a lot stronger. You feel things for other people. You feel things for yourself. And when I was growing up, I grew up in a very toxic environment. And I know that word toxic gets thrown around a lot, but I'm going to tell you, it was a very abusive, chaotic, dysfunctional, like everything you can think of. Think of, if you guys have watched the show on Netflix, it's called Shameless. I swear, dude, like this shit just doesn't like, well, actually, I won't say. You guys figure it out for yourselves. You want to go down that rabbit hole, you'll find out. Grew up a very abusive household. I had a lot of learning issues. I had a lot of, I would say, neglect. I was very neglectful. I was a latchkey kid. Back in those times, we didn't have a cell phone. You know, it was the 90s. Like, specifically, I go back to like 97. 98, I think I was like 12 or 13 years old around there. And it was at the peak of my teenage years. So the beginning of, it was the genesis, if you will. But even before that, I mean, I already knew that I grew up in an environment that was not conducive to me. It was a very scary place to be. I know my father dealt with a lot of issues mentally. And so a lot of it projected onto me. And he was a very angry person. He felt very like, I'm here as an obligation, but I don't really want to be here. And I never really felt comfortable being a woman because I felt like being a woman was weak. I felt like I was not ever the strong person that my father wanted me to be. I felt judged for that. Also because I cried at a moment's notice and I was, also being bullied heavily at school. And I'd come home and my mom would try to console me, but I feel like she felt like her hands were tied. Like she didn't know what to do or, you know, and, you know, some days she would say, well, defend yourself, get through to them and whatnot. And so I dealt with a lot of issues with, you know, getting along with people or making friends. I really struggled with that. So I felt very caged. What I mean by that is I didn't have friends at school. And when I came home, both my parents worked really hard. So they worked as much jobs as you'd give them. Let's just put it to you that way. It wasn't uncommon that my father would work two jobs. My mother would work two to three jobs. She was a waitress. Rest in peace. I lost my mom when I was 20, but it was a very long road. Hey, y'all. Just wanted to pop in really quick to say thank you for being part of the show. And I wanted to remind you that you can book your reading now in the show notes. Find a date and time that works for you and viola. All set. I can't wait to do a reading with you. Okay, that's all for now. Back to the show. And so my best friend in the world was my mom. And it was very interesting because I felt like in a way it was a very codependent relationship. My mother told me a lot of things about her relationship with my father that was probably not what you would tell a young child, but I was so mature for my age that many times people would confuse me as an adult. And I felt like a very old soul in a body, okay? And I grew up very mature and I took a lot of responsibility and people trusted me with a lot of things because I just told them that I could handle it, that I basically got it, you know? And my mother was sick. She had a heart condition that every now and then we'd have to go so she can get like open heart surgery. So she had several open heart surgeries and that was really tough. And I remember thinking to myself, like, here's somebody who's bedridden who has to take 26 pills a day to survive. I felt a responsibility to my mother because my father wasn't really paying attention to her. So I was definitely in a role of parentification. I was definitely more mature in many aspects. I just didn't have a checking account, but I was very on point with my mother's care. I was a babysitter. My parents became foster parents when I was a teenager. And so taking on the responsibility of having all these extra children. So sometimes I was up to four kids at the house. That shit was so wild. Oh my God. Like going from just my sister and I, we both grew up in that sort of environment. And I had a father who was very checked out. He worked because it was his duty. He did really well. And also was neglectful and an alcoholic. Would go from work to the bar every night and just was like wanting to avoid. You know, I lived in a very avoidant type of nature environment. And then adding foster children, I felt like that was even more responsibility for me. So I'm juggling both school and younger siblings and my mom being sick and out of energy all the time. I took it upon myself to be the appointed right hand, if you will. So it was my mom's like gopher and I was her caretaker and I was her babysitter and the housekeeper and all the things. And I ran a tight ship around there. But I didn't have no identity with myself. I mean, I was in choir at school. I, you know, was involved in many things, but I often felt guilty about doing these for myself because I felt that if I nudged too much into the schedule, it would hurt or hinder the other responsibilities in the household. So I took on a lot more than I wanted to, but I also wanted to make my parents proud. So I just did things without them asking or do extra work to get, you know, to please them, right? We all, if you've been a people pleaser, or you're a recovering people pleaser, you know what I mean? That shit is so hard to break because it's all second nature. It's almost like just like you, it's like blinking, it's like breathing. It's part of like when you don't notice it, when you notice it, you realize, damn, that's why I'm so damn tired all the time. Well, yeah, because you're people pleasing. People pleasing is not something you want to get yourself into. That shit will fuck your life up, okay? It will put your life on hold. It will rob you from the life you can have, and you only can have one. So back to the point, as I was saying, growing up, I thought, well, my whole life I've been taking care of people. Taking care of my father, who was an alcoholic, and trying to manage not being yelled at or out of line or whatever, what have you. And then taking care of my mom and running a household was how I grew up. I didn't have any sense of identity. I asked my parents what they thought about college. They both kind of shrugged. They really weren't into it. And then my mother had an accident, and she, I'm briefly telling you these things because there's so much to talk about, but kind of give you context, backstory. My mom had an accident where she was actually pronounced dead on the scene, but they revived her body. She was at school. This is while she was a foster parent. She was going back to school. I think she was doing some sort of computer science thing. And lo and behold, she becomes mentally incapacitated. And if that's the word, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, whatever. So in the meantime, my parents were already on their way out in terms of their divorce. They were fighting a lot. It was hectic. It was too much. I was trying to keep them from yelling at each other, but I could only do so much. My emotional intelligence wasn't that high. I just knew that they weren't meant to be together. A lot of infidelity on my father's side. My mom had a more secretive addiction. She didn't really tell me things. I didn't find out till after her death. But in context, at 17, my mom had to be removed. So my dad left to be with his mistress. And then my mom got sick, so he had to come back to the house. And then he sent my mom to my aunt's house, paid her weekly to take care of my mother so he could bring in his mistress to the house. So you could think about it. This is a very interesting dynamic. You know, my mom's sick. My dad doesn't want to take care of her. I don't get to see my mom. It's kind of hectic. My father was abusive. We were celebrating the fact that he left the house, and suddenly he's back in the house. So you already know how that's going. And so I'm like, I already feel nudged out. Then he moves in. He removes all of the foster siblings, brings in the children of the mistress. Okay. But this is several girlfriends. It was a lot of women coming through with their children. And I already felt edged out, and his abuse cycle was coming back, and he got really bad. So I ended up having to move out. And when I move out, I went to go live with my uncle, which is my dad's brother. And at the time, he was dealing with his own demons, his own problems. His partner had died of like 24 years. And my uncle was going through his own transition, his own thing. And it was hard. It was hard. I had to like quickly get a job that was secure and safe in my eyes. And I started working in financial services. And in financial services, I felt like I could really make a career out of something stable. So I worked for an insurance company called State Farm Insurance. So 10 days after I finished high school, I got a job at State Farm. I started as a clerical person, and then I went into sales because I knew that salespeople made more money, and I really needed to make more money since I was going to be on my own eventually. And then moving out of my uncle's house, had to do that. But I was consistent in working in the financial services industry. And so I had a moment, I would call it a long moment. I would say in total it was like 18 years in the financial services industry. And then I went into, it kind of poured into, I was doing both financial services and I was doing coaching. So I started coaching in 2013, and it's been a minute. And so I did some coaching. It was fucking insane. I was being coached and mentored at the same time I was mentoring and coaching others. So that was fun. And it took a long time for me to let go of my identity as the responsible financial services person. And I had so much to learn in that time of my life because I was a very not confident person. We'll just say that. Not confident. And, you know, I kind of catched you guys up. My mother died. My father became estranged. So I had my sister left and I had guardianship over my sister, temporary guardianship, so that I can get her enrolled into school and high school. I had to call CPS on my dad. I did not tell you guys that part, but I had to call because he was not registering her to school. It was kind of a fiasco. Big, long story. My sister's also estranged as well. And so it was a very rough beginning. So for me, I only stuck to what I know because I was like, I'm creating stability for myself. But it was a false stability because it wasn't anything that I was interested in. It was something that I was good at and I had mastered. Are we all in a place where we can, not all of us, but there's some of us out here that know that we have gifts, that we have abilities, and we're taking on the identity of working in a field and owning it as if we can't go into any other field. Like, we have no ability to do that. Or who are we if we don't have the 18 years? You know, it sounds so sexy. Like, my background in finance, I could be like, yeah, I was in finance for 18 years. You can trust me. My business is a trustworthy business. And I'm like, yeah, that's my ego wanting to get all the accolades. And I did. I did really good for myself. Transitioning to coaching, I started dipping in a little bit more into what I'm doing today, which is psychic work. And I was so terrified because, remember, I had a very interesting background with religion, so wasn't allowed to talk about that stuff. I wasn't allowed to be a psychic or even talk about psychics or any of that shit because it was not okay. And so how can I help you guys through my story is that I had to get clear with myself. What I had to do was start sitting with mentors and friends and getting around people that were doing the things I wanted to do. So, of course, I hired people that were more on the spiritual side, talking to friends, getting more clarity around what my gifts were. And then I had a moment in 2020 where I ended up channeling, and I did a Facebook Live about this. I channeled a message. I was in contact with a UFO sighting in San Diego with my friend Carissa Johnson. You guys, if you guys don't know her, you got to follow her on Facebook. She's on my Instagram, my Facebook. She's dope as fuck. You need to find her. She's cool. So she helped me really get into that, like, find my gifts type of thing. She did a reading for me for like an hour. And she started telling me all these things about my mom. And it was a very emotional process. And like, I was like, holy shit. And she's like, you're a psychic. And I thought I had buried that part. I thought that nobody could tell that I had those abilities. And funny enough, I spent a long time working with psychics. I hired so many people on the side, like, you know, those psychic with the palm signs out in the street. I hired some people on Groupon. I hired a lot of psychics on Facebook and Instagram. Damn, I didn't realize how much scam artists are out there. There are so many psychics that are not legit. It is scary. And it is absolutely terrifying, actually, now that I think about it. Not all psychics are the same. There's psychics, there's intuitives, there's mediums. I'm a psychic and a medium. Anyway, and for me to own that, it took a very long transition, as you can tell. But it was me trusting that that was the place that I needed to go to. Now, of course, like, not everybody has to feel so radical. Like, the gifts that I have are spiritual, right? And I can really, really help people on a deep, deep level. This is my plug. I am helping people with the most difficult parts of their life when they're going through the biggest transitions. And I think that the reason why I went through all these crazy transitions, I don't have enough time to tell you all of them that I went through. Not only did it serve for all the storytelling that I have to do within my work and my content, but as I'm telling you, like, it was something else. But I have a relatability where I understand I'm also a coach and a psychic. So it's like this triple threat. I went through it. I am a coach, or, you know, more formally. I'm not really claiming that these days. I'm just saying that I'm a psychic. And so let the record state that I am a psychic. And that's why you're here, because psychics have some deep insight to your life. And I'll speak for myself. I have a very unique way of getting to know people and understand them in a way that other people cannot. And I like that. And I'm here to serve. And I want you to know that maybe this is coming up because there's something that you know that you haven't been paying attention to. And you know that your time is here and now. And you're transitioning from one place to another. Maybe you're transitioning a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be a marriage. Or transitioning your friendships into a relationship or whatever. Or maybe you're going through a transformation yourself. And just know that, like, it's completely natural. Do not resist it, because the more you resist it, the worse this goes. Because going into the state of flow, you'll get a wrecking ball and it'll come for you, just the way that it did for me. And I hung on to coaching because I was good at it. Again, back to the skill again, back to the ego. Because I was resisting being a psychic. If that's you, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a psychic or in the spiritual realm, but if that's you, if you're dealing with something like that where you know you're being called to do something deeper, or maybe you want to do a career that your parents were just not down with or whatever, like, this is your time to get clear right now. I don't know who you are, but right now is the time to do that. Or maybe you get to enhance more of what you're doing and really get skilled in what you're doing. The world is changing. Have you noticed, you guys? Full moon in Aquarius is the best time to talk about this. Because Aquarians, they love to trendset. They're born like that. I'm not really into astrology. I'm not an astrologist. I know enough to be dangerous with it, but I'm not an expert in that field. But this energy is wild in. I'm telling you. So I'm recording it the day of the full moon. It is powerful. And by the way, you guys can find me on TikTok, and you can find me on YouTube at Better Call Connie. And you guys can get the immediate access to the full moon readings. You can get access to the new moon readings and to the collective readings. And you can book yourself a reading with me personally. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say about that. Like, this is probably your time. You'll know. Your system, your body will tell you. The body tells the facts, I feel. So if you've been with me this far, I really appreciate it again. And then, I do this for you guys. I do this because I really want to help people in their life and transition to the truest version of themselves. The most authentic version of themselves. And there's nothing better than to be yourself, because there's no one else like it. All right, so I'll talk to you soon. You take care. I know, dude, the episode ended. But hey, I'll be back. But don't forget to like and subscribe and give me a 5-star rating. See you on the next one.